Hello, and welcome to the second episode for the Gemma Podcast. I'm your host, Jan Spencer. In the second installment of our 2i Borisov series, I sit down with Mikhail Drahus, a postdoc fellow from the Astronomical Observatory at the Jagiellonian University in Poland. In this episode, we discuss how his team coordinated observations with the Gemini North Telescope to capture a multicolor image of interstellar comet 2i Borisov using the Gemini North Multi-Object Spectrograph, GMOS, as well as his team's timeline from notification of the comet to successfully capturing the image. We then get into talking about the attributes of this particular comet, how it's physically similar to ones in our own solar system, yet we can tell from the distinct path it's traveled so far that it's not from around here. We mention how LSST, the Large Synoptic Survey Telescope, an upcoming facility of NSF's Optical Infrared Astronomy Research Laboratory, will soon be changing how astronomy is done by both professional and amateur astronomers. Finally, we talk about how Gennady Borisov used a 65-centimeter telescope that he built himself and discovered 2i, his eighth comet. His intuition to look for comets near the sun, an area that observatories tend to avoid, and how we'll learn a lot more about this comet as it gets brighter on its approach to the sun in the coming months.
So my name is Mikhail Drahus. I'm an astronomer. I work at the Astronomical Observatory of the Jagiellonian University in Kraków, Poland. I obtained my Master of Science degree at the same institution where I work right now. And then I moved for a PhD to Max Planck Institute for Solar System Research, which is now located in Göttingen. At that time, it was Katlenburg-Lindau, not far from Göttingen. And then magic happened, and I was invited by Dave Jewitt to a postdoc with him at UCLA. I felt really privileged about this. It was a wonderful 3 years in Los Angeles. And then I moved for another postdoc as a NRA Jansky Fellow to Caltech. So after 5 wonderful years in the LA area, I returned to Poland, and I have a position here at the Jagiellonian University. It's still a soft money position, but hopefully after the research on Comet Borisov, things will change for better.
Okay. And so, yes, you were, I just started my internship a little over a month ago, and you were one of the first big articles that I read from our e-newscast. We took an image of the comet, and your paper was the one that was cited in the article. And so, from your paper, I've gathered that you have some Python 3 code called Interstellar Crusher that uses publicly available astrometric data from the possible comet confirmation page to search for hyperbolic orbits from this catalog of newly discovered minor bodies. So could you describe the main timeline of how 2i Borisov was discovered and monitored on your end after your team received an alert email from your program?
Yes, so we received this alert on the 8th of September, early morning, and we were happy. I mean, when we wrote this code, we hoped to receive this message one day. We just didn't know when, and it turned out to be the 8th of September. So we immediately started figuring out how to observe this body. We ended up requesting time on the Gemini telescope, Gemini North telescope, because Comet Borisov was and still is visible only from the northern hemisphere. And Gemini, we had excellent experience with Gemini on the occasion of observing Oumuamua 2 years earlier. And we also used Gemini on some different occasions. So it's our favorite large telescope, for sure. And our request was very rapidly processed by John Blakesley. We felt privileged to be awarded director's discretionary time for this research. And we also had 2 team members observing at the William Herschel Telescope on La Palma. So this way we gathered very early images on the night of September the 10th.
So from the images that were taken from Gemini, it's pretty obvious it's a comet since you're able to see an extended coma and a broad short tail in the antisolar region. What else were you able to learn about the comet from the data, such as like its size or what it looks like?
Yeah, we could extract some important information. But I want to emphasize that the fact that the body has a coma and a tail, which obviously imply it's a comet, this is very significant, because Oumuamua was a point source. I mean, for many decades, we expected interstellar objects to be mainly comets. And Oumuamua was such a big surprise because it was a point source. It didn't appear like a comet. So the fact that we actually noticed immediately a coma and a tail around Borisov was something like wow, it really is a comet this time. You know, this was easy to notice. We didn't have to make any accurate measurements. The coma and the tail were just obvious. We saw it immediately. But this have some momentous implications, and it actually validates this decades-long view that we have comets in the interstellar space. We also measured the color, which turns out to be perfectly compatible with the colors of solar system comets. And from the measured brightness, we estimated the nucleus size. It's not an accurate measurement. It's more an order of magnitude estimate, and it's around 1 kilometer in radius. But it's, again, a typical value for a size of a cometary nucleus. We have many kilometer-sized comets in our own cosmic backyard.
So since it does look so similar to our own solar system's comet, what was really indicative or like the big hint that it is, in fact, interstellar?
It's its orbit. The orbit is highly open. And if you trace the comet's velocity back in time, you'll realize that it entered the solar system with a high speed of about 30 kilometers per second or 32 kilometers per second. This is roughly the same as the speed at which the Earth is orbiting the Sun. So it's fast. It's really fast. All bodies that were born with the Sun and the planets have zero speed at a large distance from the Sun at aphelion of their orbits. So this was really a clear and obvious sign that we have a guest from far away.
And won't it continue to increase in speed as it approaches its perihelion, or where it's going to be closest to the Sun?
Yes. So the 32 kilometers per second speed is technically speaking the hyperbolic excess speed, or the speed, well, in infinity. We don't really have infinity inside our galaxy, but that's how we call it. And as the comet is approaching the Sun, the speed is, of course, increasing due to the solar's gravitational attraction. But after perihelion, when the comet is about to leave the solar system and enter the interstellar space again, it will return to the 32 kilometer per second speed.
The final sentence of the main body of your paper ends with more discoveries are expected in the near future thanks to LSST. So could you just elaborate on why they are expected in the near future because of it?
Yes, because LSST will be a large telescope as large as Gemini, but the main difference will be in the field of view. So the field of view of the LSST will be just huge. Will be I think in one shot, it will cover the same sky area as 36 globes of the moon, which is like huge, mind-blowingly huge.
Yeah.
And in this way, it will be able to cover, I guess, the entire southern hemisphere in just a few nights of observation. Thanks to this very large sky coverage, it will, and the large diameter mirror, it will discover many, many solar system objects. In fact, there are estimates that every solar system population will be multiplied by a factor of 10, thanks to the LSST. Of course, interstellar comets are not really solar system populations, they're more solar system visitors, but still being located temporarily on the solar system territory we expect that we'll see 10 times more of them than now, which adds up to perhaps one discovery per year. We hope this will become a regular science rather than adventures like on the occasion of Oumuamua or now Comet Borisov.
Well, one of the ways that some of these are discovered is by flipping between images of a certain field of view and noticing that there is indeed one of the objects moving between the two. LSST will be surveying the sky routinely, so that'll make it a lot easier to detect these little motions of bodies that might not be discovered yet.
Yes, yes. And the job will be done by algorithms. So, I don't expect anyone to blink LSST images in search of comets or asteroids, but I know there are algorithms being developed specifically for this purpose.
Okay. So Borisov was actually discovered by an amateur Russian astronomer with the last name Borisov using a 65-centimeter telescope, and it's going to be...
Which he built himself.
Yeah.
That's so fantastic, you know. All the big players like Pan-STARRS or Catalina Survey or Tsviki Transient Facility, you know. He was better than all of them in terms of, you know, finding this interstellar comet. From the science point of view, this is the most important comet that has ever been discovered. And in the era of these big surveys, you have amateur astronomer in Ukraine building his own telescope and discovering the comet of the generation. If Gennady Borisov is watching to this podcast, I want to congratulate you. This is a phenomenal achievement. And I mean, keep doing the job you're doing, because that's awesome. This is really fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. He really is leaving a big mark on what the power of amateur astronomy can really do and contribute.
I mean, the reality is that, of course, it's increasingly more and more difficult for amateur astronomers to discover anything. But the architecture of Borisov's searching was very clever. He chose this portion of the sky, which is very close to the sun, and it's avoided by the big players like Pan-STARRS and other surveys. So he knew what he was doing, and this really paid off.
Towards the end of December, it's going to be the closest to Earth, and it's also going to be increasing in brightness from now. So we're going to be able to get a lot of more data on this comet. Are you excited about the extra information that we'll be gathering in the coming months?
Absolutely. The comet is already bright, and it will be only brighter and better located in the sky in the upcoming weeks and months. So everyone with a telescope and a CCD camera will be able to measure it, observe it. This science is open to everyone, and I really like this sort of open science. And our team still has some time reserved on Gemini North, so we'll be taking a spectrum sometime soon. And in fact, we have booked a sizable amount of observing time on the European Southern Observatory's VLT long before Borisov's discovery, with the so-called target of opportunity proposal type to book this time, just in case. So as soon as Comet Borisov becomes observable from the Southern Hemisphere, we will trigger our observing program on the VLT and measure it with the VLT as well.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the future research that comes out of all these observatories, as well as your paper that'll be coming out soon. Thank you for joining me for this interview, and I hope to see more stuff from you in the future.
Yes, my pleasure. And let's hope there are more interstellar guests arriving sometime soon. It's really exciting.
The The captured image mentioned in this episode can be found on our Gemini website by looking through our news archive for a press release from September 13th. And if you're interested in his team's findings and want to learn more, they recently published a paper in Nature Astronomy on October 14th that you can go and check out.